Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Keep it locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Here's Dan and Mike.
Little country and western.
George Strait.
George Strait. I like George Strait. He's good. Yeah, he's good. Really good. Good. So we've been talking Kentucky football. And with us today on the Kim Crawford Wine Celebrity Hotline, Anthony White, former All-SEC running back. He does a lot of radio up in Lexington, follows the Cats closely. Anthony, welcome in.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good, man. We've got some serious questions here for you about our Wildcats. And I say our, yours, Dan, and myself. You had a terrific, like, I think over 1,700 yards passing and catching in your career. You played some teams like Chattanooga on the schedule when you were there. And as a star running back, did they ever sit you down in favor of somebody else because of the team you were playing? Did that ever happen?
No, I've never been sat down for overlooking a team. I think our mindset will probably be that we're going to get 40 or 50 by halftime, and then the coaches will be forced to sit us down, or else it will be running showboating and running up the score. But no, it was never predetermined or a game plan that we wouldn't sit down, but us as players probably felt like, you know, hey, we can get 50 by half. We can sit out the second half.
Well, the reason I asked the question, Rodriguez didn't start the game the other day, right?
The first play, I later found out he was wide out. There was an empty backfield. And he was split wide out.
So okay.
He did play the first play.
Okay.
But I'm with you on the fact when the first carries started being handed out, he was not the person carrying.
Man, I enjoy watching that kid play, Anthony. He plays hard. He takes tacklers with him, and you know I'm a big fan, and I think we've got to use him as often as we can. But coming into South Carolina, what did you have some situations where you're coming off a no-name team and you're playing somebody in your league at almost a bounce game, and maybe you played bad, maybe you guys didn't. I can't remember, but. How do you approach this game coming off the Chattanooga game?
In contrast to my career, when we came off of we never really had terrible games. But when you're playing an SEC game, and not to throw shade at anybody, but if it's the Vanderbilt or you know, South Carolina team that you kind of expect to win, and the odds are that you're going to win, you always have to be 100% prepared. You know, you can't come in planning on, you know, running up the score and sitting out. SEC games are always going to be tough just because those guys, you know, we kind of got a brotherhood that, you know, we're some of the best athletes in America. And I just think there's really not a trap game, I guess, if you want to consider Chattanooga trap game, that's fine. But coming into an SEC game, there's no overlooking. There's no we got to do better last week. No, I think every time you play an SEC team, you're giving 100%. You're making sure you're sharp on your assignments. And the only thing we got going with the Cats for this week is that last week, I don't think anybody, the coaches, any facet of the game, the special teams, defense, offense, I don't think anybody came out of that game last week and went into Monday's film study thinking, hey, yeah, I'm going to be smiling. We're going to enjoy this film session. I think everybody kind of went in there sitting on the edge of their seats knowing that it was going to be a long film session because they had a lot of tape that they had to correct and there's a lot of things they didn't do well.
Anthony, I'm not concerned about the offense. As Mike said, Rodriguez is a terrific running back. Levitz has shown he can throw the ball. We've got wide receivers that can impact the game. I am concerned about the defense. You look at the last two games, We haven't been able to really stop the run. We haven't gotten pressure on the quarterback. It looks like we've given up a lot of room to the wide receivers on the short passes. Am I being overly concerned, or is the defense still a question mark?
I think the defense is a question. It is a question because, you know, we have a couple of new coaches over there on the defense side of the ball, you know, in the secondary and things. And I do think, in a sense, we've been pretty vanilla. We've been trying to take care of some of the players. We know we have a long stretch that's coming ahead of us with South Carolina, Florida, LSU, Georgia, then going to Mississippi State. So I think some of this leading up was that we want to protect these guys from themselves, because you have guys like Josh Pascal on the front line and Marquand McCall, and you got some younger guys, Boulé Fitzgerald, who they have some good backups, but you don't want them getting banged up and going too hard and not having enough juice for this long stretch we have. But by the same token, I think that these guys won't take themselves out of the game. So I think some of the coaches have to protect them by, you know, limiting their reps. You know, I don't think we stunt as much as a lot of people would like to see, and I think we will do that through the SEC. That's where you have a defense line up in one gap and try to get pressure in another gap. We have the athletes and the guys that are physical enough and quick enough to do that. We haven't done that a lot. So I think there's a lot of things that we haven't shown defensively. I don't think we've brought enough pressure to disrupt the other quarterbacks, which in turn would help out the DBs and not have to cover so long and not have to be in a physical battle the whole time. So, yeah, are we worried? I'm not extremely worried yet, but do I think we've played up to our capabilities? Absolutely not. And I think part of it was game plan, and I think part of it is, you know, kind of building up to this part of the schedule, which I think the coaches and the players alike knew that this part of the schedule was coming around the corner.
We're talking with Anthony White, former All-SEC running back and radio personality, follows the Cats. My question is, I really like what this J.J. Weaver has done. Coming off that injury, Anthony, I think he's shown that when he gets 100%, which doesn't look like he is, he's a keeper. But what about the rest of the linebacker core?
I think Jaquez Jones. I think he's good. He's still meshing with these guys. I don't know if you understand from a football standpoint. When you know the guy next to you, it makes it easier for you to do your job. I think a couple times he's ran up in the defense line's backs, and that's just getting to know the guy in front of you. And I think they're still trying to mesh. But last week you saw he had a timely interception. That was a very athletic timely interception, which was huge for us. So I think he's going to be good. I think Square is good. And like I said, we haven't brought a lot of pressure. We haven't done a lot of stunt and exotic blitzes with those guys. But I'm with you about J.J. Weaver. I also like Jordan Wright. And I brought it up to one of the coaches or somebody on the staff that, man, if it were me, man, I would try to get Jordan Wright and J.J. Weaver on the field together. And I think that's a package that the Cats have that we're going to see some of once Jordan Wright gets back. But I think they're also – bringing Weaver on a little bit slow because, as you stated, I think he still has some symptoms from the injury that they don't want to give him too much right just yet and put too much stress on that leg. So I think our linebacking core is good. I think we're growing. I think we're good enough to win once we game plan enough to get our linebackers free. Right now I think we're going heads up with the offensive linemen, with our down linemen, and our backers are having to take some blocks on themselves. But once we start getting them hitting different holes and stunting in and outside and you know, kind of giving them a certain look but catching them off balance and changing direction, I think we will get a little bit more pressure and, you know, to make it a little bit easier for these guys to have lanes to get to the quarterback and hit the running back square instead of hitting the running backs from an angle and trying to chase them down.
Anthony, Robinson has been terrific at wide receiver. I believe he has over 100 yards receiving in all three games so far. He has left a little to be desired as far as a punt returner. I think he coughed one up early on, and now it seems like he's letting a lot of punts bounce and giving up field position. Do you see that?
Yeah, I got a podcast we did last night. Seems like you might have been taking some of my notes and listening last night. that was one of the things my co-host and I said. One was, you know, get Wandell off the field. And the guy's dynamic. He's far surpassed what I thought he would come in and be a playmaker and be a dynamic kid, but he has far surpassed that. And I think he's a gem that we need to take care of. So partially part that you're saying, ever since that fumble, I don't think he's really been aggressive on the punt return side where, you know, you catch the ball where we don't let it hit. And by the same token, there's been a couple times where I feel like he's had 5 or 7 yards of clearance where he didn't have to fair catch it and could have possibly returned it. So I don't know, maybe it's protecting himself. Maybe he's going out there and they're telling him, you know, just feel that, don't worry about trying to get up the field. But I don't want him to worry about trying to get a punt return when we need him every down at receiver. Now, if it gets late in the game and we need a spark, yeah, maybe put him back there like we used to do Lynn Bowden. You know, give Lynn Bowden the green light to try to get to the house if he could. But, I'm with you. I don't think you're too far off thinking that Wandell maybe shouldn't be back there all the time. He doesn't exactly seem comfortable. I don't think he's benefited us back there at this point. So I do agree with that.
Yeah, I agree. Do we have somebody else that would be a dynamic punt returner or kick returner?
I think Ali has done some, and I don't think he would be bad. My vote would probably be the youngster, Dekale Crowder, when he comes back. He shows some Craig Yeast-type moves and abilities. I would like him back there, and I'm not the guy making the calls. And if you know somebody who's making the calls, I'm not sure if Michael Jordan wouldn't be a guy who can do that. He has the power of a running back because he's played running back. But he's been in the receiver room as well, so I think he's shifty enough to catch the ball and make moves on the run. Those are two, if I had a choice to move them. But if they do remove Wandell, I think it would be for Josh Ali.
Anthony, as we go down that murder's row schedule, do you think offensively we're going to start using that tight end more, particularly when it's like, you know, 3rd and 4, 2nd and 3 or 4, whatever it is? I mean, we still don't seem to utilize a tight end as well as others in college or in the NFL.
Yeah, Liam Cohen has kind of said in some of his post-game and practice interviews is that he's wanting to show, I think for recruiting purposes, and we went about 3 years without feeding our wide receivers. I think he's been trying to show off Will's big arm, which is going to help us in film study from other teams when your safeties are looking at Will throwing the ball, flicking his wrist and throwing the ball 50 and 60 yards, that your safeties are going to say, I can't let this guy get behind because the quarterback has the arm to throw it another 20 yards. So I think one point is letting the other rest of the SEC and the rest of the country know that, hey, we got a quarterback that will throw the ball 70 yards, and that keeps the safeties back. But he's also wanting to pacify some of these receivers who haven't caught the ball in the 2 years. So we haven't went to the tight end then, I think, because we had the luxury of playing the competition we've had to play where we were allowed to throw the ball down the field. There were guys running open in the defensive backfield. But once we get into tighter, like you said, this murder's row of games, that there's going to be times where we're not going to be able to get 20, 25 yards on this play. We just got to check it down, get the 5, get the 7, get the 8. And that's where I think the tight ends are going to come play. And once the linebackers or the safety starts in, well, we don't know if Chris Rodriguez has it. We're going to, you know, make sure the tight end doesn't slip open. Now you got Wandell Robinson running behind your safeties again. So I think it's kind of some smoke and mirrors, given the defenses, other teams we're playing against, something to think about. But I have no doubt that once we get in these tough games and we need 4 yards, that the tight end will probably be the first option on play action to make sure we just pick up that 4 or 5 yards, just dumping it off.
Anthony, we know that you not only follow the Cats very closely, but the entire SEC. Let's take Alabama and Georgia out of the picture. What other teams have impressed you so far, and what other teams have been disappointments?
Well, I don't want to throw shade again. I'm not sure if Vanderbilt disappoints me or if they're right on par for the expectation. That would be one that I haven't seen Mississippi State play yet. I'm a real big Mike Leach fan, and I'm kind of waiting for him to get his offense and his players, his recruiting classes in there where the guys can carry out his expectations. I think there's going to be some surprises there. But Florida, Florida still kind of worries me because they're Florida, and Alabama came out and look like, you know, the best team in the country, especially the SEC. But Florida played them pretty tough the second half. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if Florida is finding a few things out and saying, you know what, well, maybe Alabama's not as good as us. And now that they've had an opportunity to play against the best team in the country, they may be one of the surprises. You know, they got quarterback that they're trying to get acclimated to the system. He's had some up and down games. And I thought Missouri played us a lot better. I would say the biggest disappointment right now is probably Vanderbilt, which they are where I expect them to be. But I thought we may have the edge and opportunity with Florida. But I think Florida's coming together a lot quicker than I thought they would.
Anthony, before we let you go, being a former All-SEC running back, talk to me about Rodriguez. What do you see that he does that separates him from others?
Chris is a tough, determined guy. He's pretty athletic. Most of the time, you see him get in open field a lot of times. But here's one thing I think that separates him a lot. He's not a guy like myself or A.J. Rose, some of the guys in the past that are shifting, who's going to get you off balance and try to make you miss. No, he's going to feed you the shoulder pass. And that's why a lot of times you see him come through a hole, maybe get tripped up or something. But then when you see when you recognize how good he is, it's typically when he's going up against two or three defensive players where there's really not a hole there, there's a safety there, there's two linebackers they're converging on, and they're bouncing off of him, and he's dragging them, spinning off of them, getting extra yards. That's the exceptional part. When there, you got three people there in this conference, when three people there, a guy is supposed to go down. But with Chris Rodriguez, when there's three people at the party, you still expect Chris to pick up three more yards. And that's that intangible that I don't think is anything the coach can take credit for or anybody else. He's just tough, and he's just not going to go down when he sees a lot of people.
Last question. Is he the best running back in the SEC?
He can be the best running back in the SEC. I anticipate that he will step up a little bit more. I think he's leaving a little bit on the table right now, maybe because it's early off and we know we have a long season, or hopefully he's not looking ahead to the NFL. But I thought there were some opportunities that I thought he could have got a little more out of some of those runs. I think he's one of the top backs, but the best, I still have to see how we come out of this we're about to go down for the next 5 weeks.
Anthony White, thank you for your time and your insight, and let's hope the Cats can do something really good on Saturday against South Carolina.
All right, I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Anthony.
Okay, thank you.
He breaks it down, doesn't he?
Yeah.
As a former All-SEC running back, I was interested to see what he thought about Rodriguez,
mm-hmm.
and he is a powerful runner. He's almost, I should have asked him this, he's almost a bigger version of Benny Snell.
Yeah. Well, I love that line. He'll come in there and feed you some shoulder pads.
That was great.
That's it.
We got to remember that one, don't we?
He'll feed you some shoulder pads. That's terrific. And I also like the point that he made. Instead of starting the game by taking some hits away from Rodriguez, or maybe not having a very aggressive defensive plan because you're trying to protect some people, go out and play, get a 30-point lead, and then take them out. Then get your backups in, because doing it the other way sure didn't work.
No, and I think you made the point earlier in the week about this. You know, it just kind of lets the air out of the balloon for everybody else.
Absolutely.
When you look at what your setup is. And even if you tell these players, look, I'm doing it for health reasons, long-term season reasons,
yeah.
You know, but everybody else is playing. I mean, you know, there's a lot of starters that are in the game,
mm-hmm.
and you're playing them, but you don't play Rodriguez, don't give him the touches so he can lower that shoulder pad into you. What did he call that? What did Anthony call that?
Feeds him the shoulder pad.
The Cats are going to need him to feed the shoulder pads on Saturday night, buddy.
I don't know what you expect Saturday night, but I expect Kentucky to come out and play.
I do too. A lot
better. I think they realize that they're in the SEC schedule now, And they got to start playing football. Forget about protecting people, and you know, start and quit worrying about keeping things in the back pocket, like throwing to the tight ends or doing more stunts and more blitzes on defense. Let's go. Let's play a total football game.
I'm in total agreement with you. And the only thing I would say to that is, when you do what you just said, okay, you develop a mindset for those things for the future, because you know you're going to have to do them against Florida, LSU, Georgia, and Mississippi State. So, you know, it's a mindset that you develop with your players that this is what we're going to do. We can do it. They see it. They see it done. And I think, and I like Kentucky, if I was a betting man, I would go across the bridge and bet Kentucky at 5.5. But the combination, if they let Levis throw the ball at the appropriate times into the appropriate people, and you got Rodriguez, you're going to keep South Carolina's defense on the field a long time and wear them out.
Right.
It's going to be hot. It's hot down there this time of year, even though it's a night game, unless it rains. You can dominate time of possession, and that's big.
See, and I'm not a big fan of holding back. So that you might be able to surprise an opponent down the road by doing something different. Go out and do what you do and do it well, so that even if the opposition knows it's coming, they still can't stop it. Yeah. I mean, I go back to when you and I played at Kentucky, and you didn't have to scout Kentucky. You could go down to the bookstore and buy one of Coach Rupp's books, and our complete offense was right there. Yep. In the books that he wrote. I mean, it was diagrammed, the plays we were going to run, you know, but the attitude was, hey, we're going to run these plays so well, you can't, even if you know what's coming, you're not going to be able to stop it. I like that kind of attitude instead of, you know, well, let's hold something back so that we can use it down the road.
Well, I think the teams like Georgia and Alabama that have all this talent and had developed that winning attitude and the confidence in the play calling, that's what they do.
Yeah.
And Ohio State, not this year, but has done that previously with some quarterbacks and running backs, K.J. Dobbins and Justin Fields. They were dominant. And then they said, we can stop you too. And that's where Ohio State struggles this year, is defensively. So, yeah, all the good teams do that. Basketball, yep, or football doesn't make any difference. And I think it's really important, as you do. And it'll be interesting. It'll be with South Carolina. Typically, South Carolina is a very good defensive team, typically. Right. I'm not so sure they're there right now.
Yeah. Well, they gave up 40 to Georgia.
That's what I'm saying. And they could have given up 80 if Georgia wanted it. Yeah, that's there you go.
Hey, what would you have in your dream house? The financing may not be as glamorous as a hot tub on the deck, but it can leave you set up for success or leave you frustrated. The folks at Stockton Mortgage can craft a mortgage that is exactly the right fit for you. Your dream home is just a mortgage away. Go to Stockton.com. What they say at Stockton is true. Find your home and they'll take care of the rest. NMLS number 8259, Equal Housing Lender.
You're locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
Now that didn't sound like country and western or Motown. Is that Motown?
No, that's not Motown.
It's Eagles.
Yes, yeah, Eagles.
Oh, okay.
That's
okay.
It so checks that, one of the boxes.
Yeah, country rock. Go. Country
there
rock.
Go. Yeah. There you
it's
go.
It's country rock.
Yeah, that's country rock. Hey, Mike, let me tell you about my friends at Bear Nose Pizza. Hey, you don't want to spend time in the kitchen this weekend. I mean, there's too much going on.
I don't want to spend time in the kitchen because I have to wash all the dishes.
You got football. You got the Ryder Cup. You got horse racing. Now, give yourself a break and get a Bear Nose Pizza. There are 13 area locations in Kentuckiana, including Bear Nose by the Bridge downtown. Our good friend George Timmering is the proprietor there. It's my favorite spot to watch the games. Great food, great drinks, and great people. Bear Nose has you covered for lunch or dinner. All Bear Nose now delivering alcohol, carry out, and delivery to your home. Support your local businesses. Bear Nose is now hiring all positions. Yeah, it's that good. Bear Nose Pizza.
Now, Dan, we follow baseball, and you watched the baseball game last night. There was a spectacular play, was there not?
Oh, you're talking about
the Cardinals game.
Yeah, we talked about it. We talked about it earlier. Harrison Bradar scoring from second base on a man. Does he have some wheels on a sacrifice fly?
He was a rocket.
Yeah, there was. You know, we talked about Duvall on his home run passing a guy on the bases. There was a guy on third base that Harrison was so fast he almost passed the guy getting to home plate. That was something else.
And it's just amazing sometimes the athleticism of the outfielders. They go to the wall, make catches, they reach over, they dive and catch the ball and not get hurt. I mean, there's a lot of diving slides to catch those balls. It's just amazing how athletic. Used to be, they'd put maybe in right or left a guy that wasn't fast, but he had a big bat. He was a home run guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe he had a shaky glove. All right. They don't do that anymore, man.
I can remember, this has been 100 years ago, but I went to an exhibition. We were in Florida for some reason, and I went to an exhibition game. And
boy, you were reaching for something to do there.
And big Frank Robinson. Do you remember Frank, the big guy?
Not Frank Robinson played in Cincinnati.
No, wasn't his name Frank?
No, you're talking about Frank Howard.
Yes, I'm sorry. Thank you. Frank Howard. And he was huge. I mean, spring training had just started, and he still had the winter fat on him. And he hit a double, and they took him out of the game, and we were sitting right behind the dugout. And he came to the dugout, and he was blowing like he'd just run a marathon. he'd run 180 feet, and he was out of breath. So that's the kind of people you're talking about they used to put in the outfield in the baseball.
And maybe even first base.
Yes.
I mean, Big Clue couldn't run very far or very fast, but he could knock it out for the Reds. So, yeah. Frank Howard was quite a basketball player, too. You know?
Was he really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think he played at Ohio State.
Man, he was a big guy.
He could crush it, man. He could crush it.
He was a big guy.
Before we get into talking a little bit of football and the spreads with Process or Bobby,
we're not doing our picks today.
No, but it would just tease the people a little bit.
Gotcha.
Okay, Justin Thomas, Louisville's own Justin Thomas.
Yes,
playing in the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
Do you know what his record is in the Ryder Cup?
I would think it was pretty good.
4-1.
4-1.
Yep.
Now, they have a combination. It starts tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning early.
3 days?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. Teams the first two.
And I think yesterday, I was corrected by one of our listeners. I think yesterday we said the Ryder Cup was every 2 years. It's every 4 years.
Okay.
So, and they didn't do it. So, it's been 5 years because they didn't have it last year because of COVID. So it's been 5 years since the last Ryder Cup competition.
But what we didn't miss was the fact that the Euros have won 9 of the last 12.
Exactly. So
it's every 2 years. I'm reading it right now. It says the competition is contested every 2 years with the venue altering between courses in the United States and Europe.
Yep. Okay. What were you reading?
I had a text from a friend of mine.
Oh, well, text or you're wrong.
Well, your friend is wrong. Yep.
There went all my credibility. I'm relying
on... No, it's their credibility, not yours.
No, but I'm relying on some idiot friend. I should have looked it up myself instead of...
Is he a moron?
Jeez.
That was funny. You and Sweeney yesterday, that was just... I laugh now.
Mike,
it's so funny.
Mike, we were right yesterday when we said the Ryder Cup was every 2 years.
Well, they're all playing mental games now. The coaches and the players are all playing mental games, man. Gamesmanship has been going on. They've all been up at Whistling Straits since Tuesday, I think, playing. Sometimes they play 18, sometimes they play 9. Coaches trying to figure out whether Process and I are the best based team based on alternate shot, whether I could hit it further or whatever.
You play single matches, you play double matches, you play all kinds of golf, right? Did I see that Koepka and DeChambeau had dinner together?
You saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you saw that. And that seems to be a point of contention, whether they can get along enough to win some points.
Well, it's golf. I mean, how much do you have
babies?
To get?
They're all babies.
You don't have to get along. Hit the golf ball.
Yeah, as far as you can hit it, crush
exactly.
it. But they're trying to match up guys with the best short games, the best long games, who's got the putter.
That's where the captain comes in.
Yes, that's where the captain. And they're trying.
He sets the lineup.
He does. Just gotcha. Kind of like David Bell with the Reds, you know? But they're playing different combinations this week. They're playing 9 holes, sometimes 18, but usually 9. Different combinations.
Practice.
Yeah, trying to figure out who plays best together.
I got you. But they start tomorrow morning for real.
Early tomorrow morning.
Okay.
And the USA has an advantage. You know, we have limited visitors to our country. And usually the Euros have a big following in previous Ryder Cups, but they're not going to have that.
Because it's more difficult. I know they had
COVID.
I know they had that same problem down at the horse sales in Lexington. There were a number of foreign people that weren't able to get in to the country to go to the sales. Of course, they can have a representative there or something. But I bet there'll be a heck of a crowd for the Americans.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, if the Americans – think about this, Bobby. If the Americans, with all these advantages, you know, the home team favorite, they've played at Whistling Straits, not the 6 rookies necessarily, but most of the people have played at Whistling Straits because the PGA's been there, the U.S. Open's been there. So they got a big advantage, okay? And some of the Euros have played too. If they spit the bit on this one, buddy, what are you going to do?
You're calling for an American victory.
I am calling for American victory led by Justin Thomas, Louisville's own Justin Thomas. That's what I'm calling for.
You know.
Absolutely.
You and I talked about, we both attended the Ryder's Cup when it was here at Valhalla, and I can remember following Kenny Perry.
Yeah.
A Kentucky boy. He participated in that, and I believe he had a really good tournament, Kenny did. But the biggest kick I got out was his dad. His dad was following him, and I, you know, because I was following the same group, I saw his dad, and his dad had a pair of bib overalls on. It was the best. It was absolutely the best. He's walking around to Valhalla in a pair of bib overalls.
Well, to that point, it's been a while since I played Kenny's course. We went by it the other day on our way to
down
Kentucky
Franklin,
Downs.
Yeah.
But I've been down there quite a few times, not in the last. You know, 4 years, COVID took up a year, but maybe 3 years ago and previously. His dad is around. He drives around in a cart. There's somebody with him. He's got his bib overalls on. He smokes a little skinny cigar. He greets everybody as he drives around. And somebody told him that I had played basketball one time in my life. He said, oh, yeah, I'm a Kentucky fan. We got to chatting, and he wanted to talk all about basketball.
Yeah.
He's a talker. But he's the goodwill man for the golf course,
because
Kenny can't be there all the time. He's the goodwill man. So, he had his bib overalls on every dime I played there.
Yeah, no, I think that's all he wears. I think that's terrific.
I'll tell you what, I got to break mine out. You know, they were big quite a few years ago.
You have a pair of bib overalls?
Oh, sure I do.
You do not.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
Yeah. Remember, Larry... This was back in the ABA days. Larry Brown coached the Nuggets one night in a pair of bib. Now, I'm sure they were like those jeans that, I mean, they weren't bib overalls from Cabela's. I mean, they were probably custom-made bib overalls.
Yeah.
But he coached an ABA game in bib overalls.
I remember that, and I have since it happened, I've seen the pictures. Yeah, that was that. Of course, Larry... You know, Larry coached in sweaters when nobody coached in sweaters.
Right. Yep.
And I kind of think basketball, you look at football, coaches are all, you know, bundled up if it's cold, or they have a golf shirt on if it's not. They're comfortable. When will basketball decide that you don't need to wear a coat and tie?
You know, I don't know. I don't know, but that was a rule.
Yeah.
If you were
coaching, it is in the NBA. I don't think it's coaching, in college. But
now they, you know, when they played in the bubble, they eased it up and let the coaches wear sweatsuits and stuff. But no, you coach in the NBA. If you're on the bench, you better have a coat and tie on.
As you should. I'm a huge proponent of that.
Are you really?
I am. It's a power thing. You know, who's the man in charge? It's the guy in the freaking suit and tie.
Okay. Do you wear? When was the last time you wore a coat and tie?
I will be on Sunday, actually. So there you go. Really? Last time before that, I believe I had a wedding this summer. So, yeah.
What are you doing Sunday?
It's my grandma's 90th birthday.
Oh, God bless her.
Is that, where does she live?
In Philadelphia.
So you're going back to Philly this weekend?
Yeah, I'm just going to go. I'm leaving tomorrow afternoon, and I'm going to be back Sunday night. Just real up and down.
Oh.
Real quick.
What's the drive, hour-wise?
10.
Okay. Yeah. The Pennsylvania Turnpike. Oh, man. They got the gas stations in the middle, and they've got the restaurants in the middle.
Yep.
Of the east and west.
So
planes.
You don't have to get too far off the highway to fill
funny
up.
What you remember is
you are your car. Hey, Mike, we want to thank Adam and his staff for dropping off Wing Zone's catering to the ESPN Louisville studio. So when we leave here, don't get between here and the conference room or the locals will run you over. Try the ESPN Louisville special, 10 boneless wings, wedges, and a drink for just $9.39. Mention ESPN Louisville, and that deal's good 7 days a week. Order your wings early for the games this weekend or on the way to the stadium to tailgate. You can order online at wingzone.com. There are two area locations, Hikes Point and the Poplar Level Road location at Quarry Center.
Very well done. Very well done. Now, a couple little tidbits here, process. Pay attention. Iowa. Where is the University of Iowa located?
Iowa City.
Iowa City. And the state of Iowa is big in men's wrestling. Matter of fact, I think Iowa's had national championships running out the yin-yang.
What was the guy that won like four NCHA, Dan Grable?
And he won Olympic.
Is he still the coach? He coached there for a long time. I don't know if he's still the men's wrestling coach at Iowa or not.
I don't know. He may have retired and taken over this gig, which is women's wrestling. They're going to have women's wrestling. First major athletic department to add women's wrestling and plans to incorporate the new sport in the year 23-24.
23-24?
Yeah.
That's 200 years from now.
No, 2023-24. Come on,
They're going to have women's wrestling 200 years from now, process.
Iowa will be the 80th program nationally to offer women's wrestling as a sport, but only the fifth in Division I. Joining, and see if you all would recognize any of these schools, North Dakota State, Presbyterian, Sacred Heart, and Lock Haven.
They all have women's wrestling currently?
Yes, and the sport is not currently sponsored by the NCAA. They all compete within the Women's Collegiate Wrestling Association. How about that? Equal opportunity employer, Iowa.
Well, high school wrestling is huge. I don't know.
Oh, well,
I don't know how, if they have women's wrestling in high school. They must, but I know men's wrestling in Iowa is huge, probably bigger than any other state in the union.
I'll tell you what, that's quite a jump here. Do you have some key games you might be looking at this weekend to unbuckle on? I know that's, you know, you got a horse that this evening we're unbuckling on.
No.
Okay.
No, don't unbuckle. She needs to go further than that. She's just 6.5.
We won't give her name out or the race. Or the time of the race.
Well, my name's in the program, so probably.
We need to call. We need to call and get your name off the program. are there any games you kind of like?
You want me to be real honest with you?
Yeah, not till tomorrow.
I haven't even looked.
Well, that's being very honest.
I do like Wisconsin over Notre Dame.
Okay.
I know I like that one. I like Kentucky. I know I like that one. And that's about as far as I've gotten.
In the Big Ten, you know.
Oh, I know the other one. I'm taking Louisville. I'm picking Louisville.
Are you really?
Given 2.5 points.
Okay. You're taking the visitors.
Man, if you can't beat Jacksonville State, how are you going to beat U of L?
Yeah, but you kick a field goal at the wire to beat to lose to Notre Dame. They kick a field goal. So, I mean, they got talent. They got 85 guys on scholarship. They got plenty of talent.
Okay.
I don't know if they can beat U of L. I think the number says that it might be just considered a toss-up game. Okay, then pick your side. You're a U of L fan, pick U of L. If you're Florida State. Florida State has to be desperate. We've talked about that, Dan, all week long. They are desperate as a coaching staff. I don't know if the team's desperate. If they are.
That's exactly where I was going. It doesn't matter how desperate the coaching staff is. Your players better be desperate or you're in a lot of trouble.
Well, a texter says, are there any Greek women wrestlers involved? There may be women. Oh, they can't go there. Can't go there. Can we process?
No, I would say no. I'd say let's stay away from that one.
I can't even see it, so.
It's a hell of a thing, Dan. I'll put it that way. It's something.
Oh, this is interesting. Texter says, did you see the Michigan State coach wearing shorts at the Miami of Florida game? And he's in Miami. He should wear shorts. I mean, you know, come on.
Look, the NFL, you're not allowed to wear a suit. Because it has to be whoever sponsors the merch. You have to wear their merch.
Adidas or Nike or
right.
Whoever. Yeah.
Right, because Mike Nolan back in the day, probably 10, 15 years ago, wanted to wear a suit in honor of his father, and there was a whole problem, so Reebok had to make him a suit to make it legal. I'm a big fan of the suit, okay? Tom Landry wore a suit.
Yeah,
Hank Stram
and
wore a
hat.
Suit.
And a hat.
Vince Lombardi wore a suit and also a hat.
Paul Brown did. Paul Brown with the Browns and the Bengals. Yeah.
I am a fan of the suit. I am a huge proponent of the suit. So I do not like the idea of relaxed rules on that.
So, Dan, what he's saying to us is we need to show up in a suit and tie to go to work because he's a huge fan of that.
If I could afford to wear a suit, I would wear one every day.
Really?
I cannot, but I would like to.
I had a job every day that I was not in the office doing office work. I had to wear a coat and tie. Yeah.
Well, that was
a pain in the ass.
That was wasn't that what was the name? George Shin, that with when he owned the Hornets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Didn't you have to wear a white shirt? You couldn't wear a color shirt.
That's right.
You have to wear a shirt and tie to work
You're
in
right.
the office.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. George was George. You know, he's a guy that what is it when your level of talent exceeds what you do, or
the Peter principle.
The Peter principle. Yeah, yeah. He was the Peter principle.
Yeah, you exceed you progress to the level of your incompetency. That's the Peter principle. As you go up the ladder.
George paid $32.5 million for the Hornets. He took on Rick Hendricks, the car race car guy. He took on Felix Sabatis, another race car guy. And then he took the guy who had the independent television station at the time. It might be a WC now or something, but they were the independent.
Yeah.
Took him on as a partner and gave him the rights to the games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So he got all those guys together. In the contract, they found out later on that he had added a clause that he had the right to buy out the partners after the second year and add a multiple of whatever.
Right.
Okay? So he did that. He pulled the trigger on that and bought them out. And they had, they were making money, okay, because they sold the thing out for like 3 years with a bad team.
Right.
So then he turns around and the team goes south on him, or he loses mourning to free agency, I believe it was. So the team goes back down to not quite expansion level, but the team goes south. He takes on a partner out of Atlanta and he sells half the team, okay? So then, at a profit. So then he takes the team and moves it to New Orleans. It almost moved here, right?
Yeah, that was a done deal. The people in that were inside that deal say that deal was signed, sealed, and delivered. And Mayor Armstrong at the time.
Jerry.
That's Abrams.
What was
Dave Armstrong?
Mayor
Dave Armstrong. With a little push from the people, the athletic people at U of L kept it from happening. But that deal was done, signed, sealed, and delivered.
So at that point, if he sold it to this group or he took it to New Orleans, he took his Atlanta partner out, paid him off, made a profit, took him out. Now he's back in New Orleans with a bad team and 100% ownership. So what happens next? Somebody else comes along and bails his ass out, and he makes money again. I mean, it is a story. This guy, wow.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's crazy with these teams, as you well know.
Absolutely. I've given you the timeline of the inflated value of the Denver Nuggets. They went from $2 million, assuming $2 million in debt, to, you know, being worth $2 million now. So, well, we thank you all for listening. We'll be back again tomorrow at 10 o'clock.
With our picks.
Absolutely. This has been Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.